And so my mentor, that was her dream.
Mm-hmm.
Valerie's dream was to have a education space for families and kids to come to enjoy outside.
Mm-hmm.
Camping days, you know, family camp out days. That way there's restrooms for those that want to, you know, trek inside and go to the restroom. But then they can go out and be with their kids in tent camp one night. You know, how different is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, be able to do s'mores on the fire, you know, just mm-hmm. slow down.
Each day at Wesley Meadows is a new opportunity to serve older adults and reimagine retirement living. It is the heart of their mission that inspires their team to provide the kind of fun atmosphere and care residents would want for themselves. Experience the warm spirit and faith-based difference of Wesley Meadows. Call 662-429-2070 and schedule your visit today.
Hello and welcome to The Real Hernando, presented to you by Wesley Meadows Retirement Community and produced by SRP Studios, podcast-powered branding for business growth. This podcast spotlights organizations, ministries, and community leaders in Hernando and greater DeSoto County by sharing their stories and what led them to serve the community. Please follow us at therealhernando.com for all channels and social media platforms. My name is Derek. I am your host today, and today we are spotlighting Magnolia Wildlife Education, Conservation, and Rehabilitation Incorporated. Their mission is to get kids outside and encourage outdoor learning to get kids and families back into nature where God intended them to be. You can follow Magnolia Wildlife on Facebook and TikTok. Joining me today is Executive Director and CEO Debbie Crum.
Good morning.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
I'm good. It's early, but I'm good.
It is early. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Trying to squeeze in as much as I can today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for being here. We're here to talk about your new organization. We brought a friend. We brought Unali. We're going to be featuring an owl here. To say this is a first is an understatement, to have any animal on this show, but to have an owl in my studio is pretty cool, I must say.
Well, he's excited to be here.
Yes. So, good to be here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what Magnolia, I want to get the name right again. Magnolia, what's the last
You can
page?
Just call it Magnolia Wildlife. It's a mouthful. Magnolia Wildlife Education, Conservation, and Rehabilitation.
Incorporated.
That's right.
So yes, introduce yourself and tell us some more.
Well, I'm Debbie Crum, again, the CEO and Executive Director for Magnolia Wildlife. I have five boys and one girl, and I work full-time doing real estate law, and then Magnolia Wildlife is my love.
Gotcha. Okay.
We are focused on the main portion of Magnolia Wildlife education, conservation, and rehabilitation, which is our education. Kids nowadays need something different.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone, every time I go somewhere, or, you know, even if I just go to eat, if they're sitting on the table, they're on their phones. And so what we do is a lot of different workshops and programs for kids that get them off the phones, mm-hmm. get their brains working, get them interested in things.
I need
things.
This help
yeah.
myself.
I do too sometimes. And I go to those classes like with the DeSoto Arts Council, and there's Budding Art has adult little art classes that just get your mind off of everything
yes.
else, and
yeah.
you get to just be creative, and those are amazing. So we do those for kids, and we do everything from teaching them how to be little rehabbers, and they get scrubs and stethoscopes, and they go through all the motions, you know, and go through the patients. And our older ones get to learn how to do stitches, and they get to
wow.
learn how to, yeah, they get to do it on chicken legs. They're not, some of them aren't quite sure until they get into it. Then they're like, ooh, this yeah. is fun. But the goal is to kind of spark any type of fire to maybe one day want to go into veterinarian or into anything animal, mm-hmm. anything animal related, you know, usually not rescues and not, usually rescues are nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
There's not salaries involved in there. So like at Magnolia, all of us are volunteers. There's not a penny salary being paid. So what we want to kind of go with kids is when they say, I want to be a rehabber, you know, that's great. But you really want to maybe do something like become a veterinarian where you can help those animals but still get a paycheck. You know, we want kids, we want to be real with them. We want them to know, you know, what's going on. But we do things, outdoor events. We have some amazing summer camps coming up for kids. We have a homestead summer camp where the kids are going to learn how to weave baskets. They're going to learn how to bake bread in a Dutch oven over a fire. They're going to make blankets. They're going to make lip chapsticks. I mean, all this stuff that they use outside in nature. Mm. And we have a sportsman's camp where the kids learn archery, duck calls, deer calls, turkey calls, anything outdoors, sports. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also have a little rehabber camp where the kids learn all things, how to be a veterinarian. And then we have one for our younger age group from 5 to 8 years old. It's called Where the Wild Ones Are, because they certainly are. And that's just a compilation of all different things that they do, from wildlife Legos all the way to doing a little bit of little rehabber type stuff, too.
Where can people find schedules and applications for these events?
The schedules will be on our Facebook page under events.
Okay.
They're all underneath there. We have those. We try to have several different ones a month. And that way they are able to choose different items that they can do. One of the things that we're doing right now is for teachers. So schools, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I went places. We got on the bus, we had our sack lunch, and my mom had my Coke wrapped up in an aluminum foil, and we went to the zoo. We went on field trips.
Field trips, yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't do that anymore. Well,
certainly not in high school. My daughter hasn't. I don't even know if she had one in middle school.
They don't. So we go into schools and we offer free programs for teachers to be able to let us bring owls and different birds in there to teach them and let them actually see. We have one going right now where the teachers, we came up with a cart, and it has on the cart, it's got some animals, it's got everything a veterinarian has, scales, little x-ray pads with the light boards, stethoscopes, all that stuff for teachers to put in their classrooms to do interactive play. One thing that we need for kids is not only to just learn different ways and hands-on learning, is to learn a little compassion for some animals too. And this is one way to do it.
Yes.
Start them early.
Yeah, my daughter's always, you know, such a softie for animals. We have a little guinea pig.
You know,
but she would freak out if she saw the owl. She'd love that. I need to think about some of the stuff you got going on too for her.
Yeah,
she would be very interested in that.
We just did a reptile birthday party. So we do custom birthday parties for this little girl. Wanted a snake birthday party.
Yeah, I'm okay with snakes. No, thank you.
No, thank you. Oh, she loved.
Oh, my daughter wants snakes. I'm like, when you're old, you get your own place, go for it.
So we had snakes come. Davis Ruffin came and with some of his snakes and even a crocodile. And she had a blast.
A crocodile?
Yeah, no, he wasn't, you know, but that big. It was a little dude, but she had a blast. And it's something different than your, you know, the jump places are great, you know, but it's something different.
For sure.
Something different.
To see a crocodile. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
And all the funds that we get off of these workshops and camps go directly toward our goal of building a center.
Okay. What does that look like?
That looks like a Litcherman Nature Center, sort of.
What
if
is,
anybody's
what is
been
that?
There in Memphis, okay. So it's a nature center where that has walking trails. You go in; it's like a museum per se. But they go in and they can see different exhibits of different local native wildlife we have there. Classes. Let schools come to things if they were able to do field trips like that, which some have been very interested, but there's no place like that around here. And so my mentor, that was her dream. Valerie's dream was to have a education space for families and kids to come to enjoy outside. Mm-hmm. Camping days, you know, family camp out days. That way there's restrooms for those that want to, you know, trek inside and go to the restroom. But then they can go out and be with their kids and tent camp one night. You know, how different is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, be able to do s'mores on the fire, you know, just mm-hmm. slow down.
Yeah, I grew up camping. My daughter's 15 and has never camped once.
Yeah. You know, we need to get back to that.
Yes,
we need to get back. We need to slow down. And my husband and I were just talking the other day. We were sitting next to each other. I was working on new programs, and he was over there on his phone. And by the time we were done, 2 hours had passed, and we both had not gotten off our phones.
Yeah.
You know, now, granted, I was working on workshops. He was probably shopping on Marketplace, but, you know. So, but we need to get, you know, kids are the same way. Mm-hmm. And so we need to get them outside.
Yeah, my daughter just recently started working on the theater crew for both Kudzu and the high school. And they keep them busy. And
it was
great to see. I was like, oh, wow, she's gone almost every day after school. I'm like, awesome, go, stay.
Go, stay, have a good time. And they're not on their phones. It's amazing. You know, there's so much. There's a lot of that here in DeSoto County. You know, there's lots of different resources for kids that have a love for theater, that have a love for music. You know, there's if you look, it's out there.
She was in Coro Rio for a while, which is our county choir group, I guess you'd call it. Yeah, I got to take notes too. I'm just as bad. When you said crocodiles, it makes me think of all the Facebook reels I've thumbed through where these crazy people are in the crocodile cage, if you will, and these behemoths are staring him down.
Yeah, no thank you. I don't want to do that. There will be no crocodiles at the nature center, I can tell you that.
So tell us, you know, your history behind why you got into rehabilitating birds.
I started rehabbing ducks as a volunteer.
Which I've learned are considered waterfowl.
Waterfowl. That's right.
Cool.
That's right. I started rehabbing ducks and with Valerie. And in no time, it blew up. And, you know, we were working with Valerie to build a center under a previous organization, and it was turned into, I was the executive director, and you know, started rehabbing the hawks, the owls, and the eagles, bald eagles.
I mean, do you have prior education in veterinary?
I worked as a vet tech for a long time back when I was 18, 17.
So that's
18.
The connector in a way. You didn't just be like, hey, I'm going to start rehabbing ducks.
I've always loved animals. Now, my career has always been real estate law.
Okay. Oh, real estate law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But
it's two different worlds.
I would say so. Yes, for sure.
But I do get to work from home. So my employer is an amazing group of people, and they know what I do. So if I am on a conference call or doing something and it's an emergency pops up, all I got to do is say, hey, I got to run. I'll be right back. I got to go grab an eagle. And they're like, well, we don't get that very often.
It's not, you know, I have a sore throat. It's I got to go get an eagle.
Yeah.
So what's her name? Valerie?
Valerie was my mentor, yes.
And I read in your story in DeSoto Times, you know, this is a mentor that ended up passing away, correct?
She did.
And you spent the last few days with her, and that was quite the moment for you, wasn't it?
It was. It was. It was, she was like a mom, you know, to me, and she was an amazing lady. Not only just for animals, just, you know, she was just a very Christ-like, very much image of what you think, you know, a perfect mother would be, grandmother, you know. Now the whole family was there, and we were able to spend those last couple of days and, you know, love on her, and, you know, we got just talk with her and what she could, you know, and it was when she passed away, it was crazy because I had gotten a text. She was on hospice, home hospice, and I had gotten a text. I believe it was at 12:23 that said, I know this is, I don't know why, she said, I don't know why I'm sending this, but I'm just letting you know that I just saw the eagles, baby eagles, fledge the nest in Arca Butler.
What is fledge the nest?
Leave the nest for the first time. Go. Yeah. Flew. Yeah. And she passed away 1 minute after that.
My goodness. So.
That was her.
Yeah.
Yep, that was her work right there. So that was
she got to see it.
Yeah, yep. I don't doubt she wasn't right there with them, probably riding on their back, going with them. I see her every day. Yeah. So her favorite animal bird was a red-tailed hawk. And every time I'm like struggling with something or if I just need a push, when I look somewhere, there's a darn red-tail sitting on a wire up on a pole or something. So she's there. And we're very lucky to have the support of her family. Her grandson, Joseph Gillespie, is on our board for a visionary leader to make sure that we stay on track in her vision.
Very nice.
Yeah.
No better person to represent her vision than.
Yes, absolutely.
And did he grow up?
Oh, yeah.
Doing this, too?
He did. He grew up, you know. Now, there are rules with U.S. Fish and Wildlife when it comes to handling these birds, you know. So he wasn't able to handle the patients. You have to be 18 and, and safety reasons, obviously. But he was right there next to her, you know, while she did it. So he grew up with it. All of them did. And all of them have a great passion for animals and wildlife and being outside, you know.
Is now easily qualified to handle?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and he does. He comes with us and does events, and he will handle birds and let kids see them, you know, like he's handled Denali. And
so do people reach out because they find a bird injured? Is that that's where it starts?
That's where it starts, yeah. Okay. So they'll give us a call and say, hey, I found X, Y, Z, and, you know, a cardinal or a hawk or and we'll find a location, and we'll either, most of the time we'll get them to bring them in, depending on how many patients we have, because a lot of times we'll have, you know, 20 at a time, and it can get a little busy, and especially when some are like on ICU care, you can't just leave them. So they'll bring them in, and that's, it just goes from there. Now, we have people all over Mississippi.
That do what you do?
That with Magnolia. They're volunteers from Magnolia. So, like, if we get a call in Jackson, we have a volunteer in Jackson that will get them in rehab. We have a volunteer in Batesville. We have a volunteer in Oxford. We have one down on the coast. So we can kind of cover a good bit of the state for that.
So where are they being taken care of? You say you bring them in.
They come in to me, but right now it's at my home.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah,
so,
right now
so
it's at my home.
So you have birds at your house that you're rehabilitating.
So I have a room that's separate. I have my house actually has a basement. In Mississippi, we have a basement, which is unusual. So
very much so.
Yeah. So it's quiet down there, you know. Okay. So we have the birds there. Now we also have the mews that are built outside, which are like big cages. We don't like the word cage. We use the word mew, but they have perches and trees in them, you know, to kind of mimic.
So you have one. Outdoors. You have one outside your house.
I have like six.
Nice.
They're all over. Yeah. But that's what the rehab patients go into before they're getting ready to go into being released.
What are some of the common injuries that you see?
Vehicle strikes when they get hit by a car.
Is it because they're down eating?
Either they're down eating or they've flown in front of a car because they see something on the side of the road. You know, they say owls are like super smart. The wise owl, well, they're not so much.
I've heard that they're not.
They're not. Yeah. So, you know, especially at nighttime, 8 at night, they're night hunters. If a car's driving down the road and, you know, you got the headlights coming, if they see something in those headlights, they're just going to go right for it. So they go right in front of that car.
They have no sense of this machine.
They don't care.
This thing flying
down
towards them.
They're like, ooh, free flashlight. And, you know, they're gone.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of those. The vultures, black vultures, are usually eating some sort of carrion on the side of the road. And they get hit.
Of all the birds, the vultures are the ones that I've had to slow down for the most and kind of go around them.
They will tear a car up.
Yeah, and, you know, they're eating on something that's right on the yellow lines. Right in the middle of the road.
You know, and it, I've always told, you know, I've told everyone, you know, if you can swerve to miss, you know, do that, you know, but never put any body or person in harm's way.
Yeah.
To miss,
much like a deer.
You know, I don't, have you ever hit a deer before?
No.
Well,
knock on something. Wood
yeah.
all around me.
Yeah, it's not fun. But you know, if you handle it wrong, it can be a whole lot worse than if you.
Yeah.
Take time. You know, you don't have much time to think. But if you've got that few seconds to know what to do, you know, and especially with younger drivers, they don't know what to do. And it's so we tell them all the time, you know, look, if you're going to swerve and you're going to run off into a ditch, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt yourself or don't try to hurt somebody else. You know, always be aware. Do the best you can, but never hurt yourself.
I'm from Maine, and moose.
Ooh, I don't
is a problem.
A moose. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. Want.
They're so tall and huge. So, yeah, when you hit them.
When you hit that, they hit don't the, move.
You, well, no, you hit their legs, and then guess where their body goes?
On the car.
Yes. It's very rough. And I've seen some serious car damage. I mean, like, roofs just caved in, and it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Know? It's dangerous hitting any animal, obviously.
It is.
But, yeah, the moose are crazy. But, yeah, deer, oh, man. So far, I've been okay.
let's keep it that way. Yeah, it can be a chore. But there, yeah. Deer is a one that you're not allowed to rehab in Mississippi.
Interesting.
Yep, because of chronic waste disease.
What's that mean?
Well, it's a disease that they have that's in their brain, and they call it zombie deer, and they just, like, walk in circles. It just eats at their brain, and it's a bacteria type of thing, and
this happens to them.
It's all the time. It's been around for a long time.
Oh, just randomly.
Yeah. So you like when they're born, you don't know they have it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so what Mississippi has done, which is smart on their part, to try to control some of this, is they don't currently allow anybody to rehab deer. It's actually a pretty hefty fine if somebody finds out that you're rehabbing deer, because we've got to get control of this chronic waste disease. If not, then you'll just be overrun.
Because if you rehab one that has the disease, you're pushing it back out. Is that how they look at it?
You're pushing it back out. Yeah.
So we do have zombies.
We do.
They're real.
They're real. Zombies are real.
I would never heard of that.
Chronic waste disease.
Do they get aggressive?
No.
They just
lose their mind. It's like dementia, you know. Yeah. They just walk in circles, and they don't know where they're at, what they're doing, and it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And those are the ones that are probably roaming into the road.
Well, a lot of them are just crossing the road.
Yeah,
it's, you see them, those are the ones you like, if they're kind of hanging in a neighborhood around houses and they're not leaving, you know, something like that, maybe it's possible. Now, it's not something that, like, humans can catch it, you know. It's not like they're going to turn into a zombie if the deer licks them or something.
We would have a lot of zombies. Human zombies.
We would.
We would
Look
have a
at
lot.
The deer.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, part of conservation is management.
Okay.
Of that species, which is why, you know, deer hunting is allowed, duck hunting is allowed. It's important. We get a lot, well, why are you supporting of hunting when you're trying to rehab animals? Well, you know, same goes with anything. If you get overpopulated, something is going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Something's going to go wrong. So in order to keep a safe herd, a healthy herd, controlled management, which is our hunting seasons, is absolutely necessary. You know, now there's a good way to do it, and there's a bad way to do it. Mm. You know, I have been a hunter my entire life. I eat what I kill, which is responsible. I don't, you know, go out and just shoot just because I can.
Mm-hmm. It's not a game.
Yeah, you know, so there's responsible ways to do it, and I'll tell you, a lot of our hunters are big wildlife lovers, not just for the sport.
Yeah.
But they'll come out of the deer woods, you know, come out of their stand because they found a hurt hawk. You don't come out of your stand unless you're done for the day.
Yeah, because that will kill the day.
You know, that will kill the day.
Yeah.
Everything's going to hear you running off, and you're done for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if they see something like that hurt, I mean, I've had them come out of the stand and bring me a hurt bird, you know, and that's...
Yeah, there's always that misconception that hunters are not animal lovers, and
some probably aren't. Most of them are.
Of course. Yeah. There's outliers in every situation. Absolutely. Here. But broad spectrum, people look at gun owners, you know, and then they're out there killing animals. So I'm sure there's PETA and all this stuff involved with all this. But you're not, I mean, you're here for the animal rights and making them healthy again.
Yes.
But you also understand population control.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and we, in our sportsman's camp, we teach hunting and kids and responsible hunting and, you know, what to do in order to keep your herd healthy and keep your flocks healthy. Mm-hmm. And it teaches the kids to be a lot more compassionate for the animals that they're hunting. You know, you're not going to try to shoot something that, and I've always taught my kids, you know, when you're hunting, you better hunt to kill. You know, we don't want to leave anything wounded.
Right.
You know, if you think you wounded it, go find it.
Yeah.
You know,
because now it's torture.
Yeah. So, it's something that people get a lot of misconception on is about hunting. So, it's necessary. It's to keep your, I mean, if you had hundreds of thousands of deer, think about how especially our back roads in Hernando, like Mackinvale and all that. Goodness gracious. I was crossing Mackinvale a couple weeks ago, and there was probably 30 deer crossing Mackinvale running across.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine if there was no control over that.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side of that, again, I'm going to go back to where I'm from. At least this is how it was when I was growing up. They went the other end of the spectrum to help protect population because I guess it's, you think Maine, you think deer. Of course we have deer. In the South, like North Carolina, I know they have issue because my dad lives out there with too many.
Yeah.
Where in Maine, you have to join a lottery to get a doe permit.
Yeah.
It's very limited.
Because the population's different where that
is. It's lower. Mm-hmm. So now it's not like, hey, whoa, now we got to back up because we want to keep, we don't want them to go away.
Right.
You know, so at least they're getting protected on, they are getting protected still on that.
Absolutely.
End. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they do that here too. That's why when you have duck tags, you have to get, they're called duck stamps, and to be able to go duck hunting. And they review that every year. And every year they'll change the amount of tags or stamps that they allow to be done based off of how much has been harvested, how much has been counted. So we don't get to a spot where we have, oh, wait a minute, we're running low now, you know.
Because then it'd be too late.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just...
And that's what a lot of people don't see. They don't see the work that goes into from the Department of Wildlife, you know. A game warden is not just some mean man that's going to give you a ticket because you're fishing without a fishing license.
Yeah, they're protecting the wildlife.
They are amazing people, and they have... they do a lot more than you think they do. You know, they protect our animals, and they help our animals, too.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. And then I'm going to let Debbie get Unali, her owl, ready. And on the other side of this break, we're going to meet Unali the owl. So stay tuned.
5M Services, we're your comfort specialist. We're dedicated to serving residential and commercial clients with money-saving solutions, combining the highest quality parts with our unwavering commitment to delivering exceptional service to give you the top-notch experience you deserve. A 10-year parts and labor warranty is included with every install. Dial 662-560-7331. 5M Services, making your comfort our priority. Visit us on the web at 5mservices.net. for more information.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So, yes, Debbie, let's meet Unali.
Ready to meet Unali?
Let's go. Ooh, look at that beautiful owl.
This is Unali.
That is beautiful.
Do you know what kind of owl he is?
No.
No. So he is an Eastern screech owl. Okay. So he's going to be the smaller owl here in Mississippi. They nest in holes of trees, so you don't hardly ever see them. I have never even seen one in the wild myself. They are typically very good camouflage artists.
Well, I could already tell it would blend in with bark.
Yes, absolutely. So there's three different morphs of this guy. So there's a brown morph, a gray morph, and a red morph. So he is kind of he's going to be the brownish morph. The gray morph is more like Texas area. Okay. He is going to be in like an oak tree or, you know, something like that. And our red morph, they get in cedar trees. You know, it's crazy. They know what tree they camouflage themselves to. So if you Google screech owl and tree, oh my goodness, pictures will come up and you can't even see them. You have to look for the eyeballs in order to see them. So
for the listeners, how big is he?
He is probably the size of a pretty good coffee cup. He'll fit inside a coffee cup.
Is that full grown?
He is full grown.
So yeah, it's a much smaller owl that you envision immediately. When I think of an owl, I think of those big stocky owls.
Yes, yes. And so a lot of people don't realize we have these little guys too. So
he's really cute.
He's a crowd favorite.
They just have those big eyes, and he keeps winking at me. I don't know.
What's going on here?
And he is moving his head almost 180 degrees.
Almost.
They can't, the myth is they can go all the way around, right?
It's about 170 degrees. But owls have, do you know how many neck bones that you have?
No.
I don't know. Seven.
I'm too busy on the phone.
Okay. Well, we need to get you outside.
That's right. Exactly.
So you have seven.
Okay.
They have 14.
Okay.
And that's an adaptation. That's one of the things kids learn in school. And when we take kids to programs, it's usually around the same time that they're learning about adaptations. Mm-hmm. And that's one of theirs is that they have 14 neck bones. That's what allows them to turn all the way, almost all the way around. But they have to do that because they got to be able to look for prey, look for predators and look for their prey too. So they have really big, their hearing is amazing. Their eyes are amazing. And so they can hear something way behind them and they'll just turn their head and say, okay, well, maybe I'm going.
But not all birds have that ability, right?
Only owls.
So it's interesting how God does these things, right?
But why
give owl 14 bones?
Well, let me tell you, when I get there, whoever's behind me in line better just sit down because I have a bazillion questions I need to ask that man. Why did you do this? Why did you do that?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, just have a seat because I've got a lot of questions.
If you could extend out to get it closer. Yeah, look at that.
I can kind of bring him up.
That's for the viewers here. If you're...
Give me a break, take him up closer?
Sure, if you want. So, yeah, this is definitely a visual here for those listening only. We're on YouTube. Look at that.
There
you
go.
Look at that guy. He is so cute.
How you doing?
Oh, what's up, buddy? My daughter would love to see this.
So he is... he's about a year old, but he's not going to get any bigger. He only weighs, a couple hundred grams, Owls' bones are hollow, so they have to be really lightweight. You know, we have blood and marrow and whatnot. They don't. Theirs are hollow.
Interesting. Now, how long do they typically live?
In the wild, 6-7 years.
Okay.
Predators. In captivity, they can live 20 years.
So they live shorter in wildlife because they end up getting taken down?
Taken down, yeah. So a large owl, like a great horned owl, they don't discriminate. If they're hungry, here's an owl nugget. If they don't see them as an owl family member, So the smaller you are, the more likely you are to be taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So how did you come across Unali?
So Unali was found in the middle of the road. It was a white fluff ball, and somebody thought it was a kitten. So they stopped, picked it up. It was, in fact, not a kitten. And they're like,
whoa,
what is this thing? So they brought him into the rehab center, but his eyes were completely just eaten up with mosquito bites and just swollen shut from mosquitoes. So one of his eyes is not didn't function correctly.
Okay.
So he could not be released back into the wild because he would not be able to hunt. So we don't keep education birds just because it's a cool bird. They have to have a reason that they cannot be released back into the wild.
If they're going to be put into danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have rules on that.
How do you know whether an eye works or not?
Veterinarian, Dr. Lisa Godfrey from State Line, she checks all of our animals. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. She's our volunteer veterinarian.
Okay.
I can call her at 10 o'clock at night and say.
So you have a licensed veterinarian.
On staff, basically.
That really looks and assesses But you'll get in there and stitch and.
Oh yeah, yeah. So there's certain things that I myself can do, and then there's things that legally only the veterinarian can do. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for that, just because I've done this and I've learned a lot and kind of know what's going on, doesn't mean that a veterinarian shouldn't be involved as well. So Dr. Lisa's done. Amazing things with them. So we've let some bald eagles go that we didn't think would be able to fly again, and she was able to put them back together, which is amazing.
He's adorable, the way he's just moving his head around. He's like, I've never been on a podcast before.
You haven't.
Unali, would you like to say anything?
Let's see if he will.
No. Ooh. Ooh. Oh.
You gonna talk? Sometimes he'll trill and he'll go, but he's not. So would you like to say a word? No.
So Unali is part of the family now.
He is. He's part of the family. He ain't going anywhere. He's got his own special bracelet with his little ID on it. So something ever happens.
Yeah, when we were discussing and booking this interview and you mentioned you're going to bring an owl, I was like, yeah, let's do this. So
yeah. See, I like to be on TV. And he likes people too.
Yeah, I implore anyone that just listens. Find the YouTube channel, realhernando.com. This is a massive visual situation here. Before we wrap up, is there anything we're missing? And when we're done, I want to take a picture of you with Unali.
Absolutely.
But yeah, what are we missing here that you really want to put out there?
Well, I do want to encourage a lot of our program with these carts that we have for our teachers. I want to encourage our local businesses to sponsor a teacher. We've had over 120 teachers in DeSoto County reach out to us wanting a cart for their classroom to be able to do some interactive learning, indoor recess time, just to get something different for their kids. You know, our teachers don't have a lot of resources.
Yeah.
They don't. A lot of them do a lot of things out of their pocket. And so these carts through Magnolia are, they're $250 for the cart. And that is only the cost of the cart and everything that goes on it. So we just want to arm these teachers with more things to do for their classrooms. So if we can get local businesses to sponsor a cart for a teacher, that would benefit so many children, not just one class, but, classes for years to come. Mm-hmm. And it's also a tax write-off since we're a 501c3 as well. Mm-hmm. So we are able to be able to.
And the best way is to find the Facebook page and message
and let
you
us know.
There.
I can. You can put my cell phone number up on the top. They can give us a call as well.
So yeah, you can go find them on Facebook at Magnolia Wildlife Education, Conservation, and Rehabilitation.
Yeah, and they can send us a message, and we can definitely go from there. But we want to encourage them to support our teachers.
Fascinating. Thanks for doing this, Debbie.
Well, thank you. And, can you say thank you? You gotta earn your keep around here.
All right, Unali, you can come back. You're welcome anytime, Unali. If you ever need owl sitting, no, just kidding. I wouldn't know what to do. But thanks for doing this. Thanks for bringing Unali in. This is really interesting, and thank you for what you do. Because
thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
All right, y'all. So thank you for listening and watching. If you want to learn more about us, go to therealhernando.com. You can find our network links on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I want to thank all of our sponsors. Their support helps the growth of this platform and shines a brighter spotlight on our community and people like Debbie Crum. And you can learn more about our sponsors on therealhernando.com. Thank you again for watching and listening, and have a great day.